You can open your Bibles while you're waiting to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. I think I said this the last time I spoke here. This thing isn't quite wide enough, Brother Lindell, to my way of thinking. You know, I mean, could you have just spared a little bit more money, a little bit more? My Bible's either going to fall off or my notes are going to fall off. I don't know what the message of that is, but anyway, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word tonight. Pray you'd open our hearts to it and that you would speak to us tonight by your Holy Spirit, about things that are important. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, as you can see from the sheet you've got, oh, by the way, if you don't have something to write with, John has things still. Please raise your hands. I passed out pencils. Yeah, John, would you please make sure everybody keep your hand up till you get some. I want to talk about how to pray for M&Ms. Somebody said, what's the M&Ms out there for? I'm not talking about candy-covered chocolates, although we do have some out there for all the elementary schoolers and under. Please understand that, not for all you people just like M&Ms. We don't have enough for everybody, but for your elementary schoolers and under, get one of those afterwards. And hopefully, I know you're going to eat the candy, but hopefully you'll maybe keep that package and keep it along with one of our prayer cards to remember to pray for us. That's what this is all about tonight. And when I say M&Ms, what I'm talking about is ministers of the Word of God, such as you have here, Brother Lindell and Brother Steve and Brother Brian and their wives. And the other M is folks like us. M's who work in foreign cultures. You know we don't use the full M word. Some of you didn't know that. So that's another point we're trying to get across and just talking about M&Ms tonight. Now, we're not talking about candy-covered nuts, although some folks think that we are nuts for doing what we're doing. But we're really just plain folks, just like you, okay? In fact, I guess one of the things that got me thinking about this was a message Brent preached here. I don't know how many years ago it was, Brent. You'll probably remember, but on men of like passions with you. That really touched my heart and got me thinking along this line. And over the years, this is what God has given me, the outline you have in your hand. Please don't make the mistake of putting M&Ms up on the pedestals as if we are super saints. If you want to get disillusioned of that real quick, just ask my wife to tell you all about what a saint I am. As you see, the full title of the message at the top of your page is How to Pray for M&Ms, as well as for all believers who put their pants on one leg at a time. I know that's where I put my pants on, and you know, my brother, I've seen him. I imagine Brent does too. I don't think I've ever actually watched him put his pants on, but that's the way we do. We're just ordinary folks like you, okay? And each one of you, in one sense of the word, each one of you, if you're a believer, has a ministry. I understand that. And you've been sent on a mission to wherever it is that you work and live. But tonight I'm focusing on what we call, you know, recognized ministers here in your church and foreign M's, such as in Poland and Mexico and ourselves. And these are important requests that you can pray for us, as well as, of course, for yourself, and I hope that you'll do that. Our newsletters that you'll see some copies out there, the most recent one, list, as you know, 21, those of you who receive it, 21 specific requests that we send out every 2 months to pray for us. But those needs change constantly, things about our work and our health, and the language, and the finances, and so forth. But today, what I'm going to give you this evening and tomorrow evening, it's a very important request that you can always pray for us, for your pastors, for your workers down in Mexico, over in Poland. Okay, by the way, as you can see, there are 7 specific categories, and after praying through this myself for a long, long time, probably a year or so, the Lord finally revealed to me or showed me that there was a one day a week there. So I changed it. And instead of A, B, C, I just put, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that's the way I do pray for my family. That's why I pray for our believers over there, the workers that we work with over there. That's why I pray for many of you that I pray for, especially the ones down in Mexico. I can't pray all these things every day, so I just focus on one of these items each day of the week. Anyway, I do hope you'll listen closely. I'm going to go through this rather quickly, as you can appreciate. And fill in all the blanks as we go. And I hope you will save this and use it over and over until it becomes a habit to pray in this way. Because you can pray these things with complete confidence. You know why? Because it's based completely on the Word of God, as I hope you will see. 1 John 5:14 says that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, right? And how do we know His will? Right here, it's revealed to us in His Word. So that's what these prayer requests are all about. And you know, according to the New Testament, as you pray for us, M&Ms, you become co-workers with us. As John was saying yesterday morning so eloquently, you become stockholders with us, as well as when you invest your money. And so you will share in our rewards one day. So I hope this will be a great motivation to you to pray for us. Okay, first of all, and again, I will not be able to develop all these points tonight, so don't get nervous. I will finish this up tomorrow night, but please bring this back tomorrow night, by the way, and you also keep that pencil or pen we gave to you and bring it back tomorrow. So I have down here for Sunday, or A, to pray for a clear vision. Pray that our spiritual eyes might be more and more enlightened every day. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Paul says how he prayed for the Ephesians. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So first of all, pray that we will glory in these truths that we just read. The truth that God chose us to be His inheritance. Now that is a glorious thing just to think about. That we are that pearl of great price that the Lord Jesus Christ saw and came and laid down His life for. That we are His special treasure. Just to think about that, what a lift it is. Jesus told the disciples one day, or the apostles, whatever they were at that point, when they came back after He'd sent them out, and they were all excited because of some great things God had done to them. He said, don't get excited about that. He says, I'll tell you what to get excited about, that your name is written down in heaven. Wow, but you know, we forget this. And so that's why you need to pray for us each day that we'll be rejoicing in these things. And second, that we'll rejoice in the glorious hope that we have of heaven. That one day, soon, very soon, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and forever, we're going to be like Him. Isn't that glorious to think about? As Peter one day started writing, he began to dwell upon this, and he began writing this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an eternal inheritance, which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while you're distressed through various trials, so that the testing of your faith, which is more precious than gold that's tried by fire, might result in praise and honor and glory for the Lord Jesus Christ. He got excited about it. And you and I should get excited about it. We over there in Turkey, friend, I need to get excited about that every day. But we don't. We forget it. That's why you need to pray for us. You know that song says, all time the days seem long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But then we have to stop and think, it will be worth it all when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then pray, thirdly, that we'll dwell upon that mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead that we were just speaking about. And it's now available to us, God says. That's what we just read here in Ephesians 1. You know what our problem is? The same thing as your problem. Our problem is that we tend to focus upon our problems instead of focusing upon God's provision. Now, of course, as M&Ms, we usually read the Bible every day. That one hurt, that little wire that's trailing out from it? Okay. Well, guess what? I just lost the other part of this, I guess, brother. There was a little thing that was holding this. Oh, it's still there. Okay. I don't like these doodads. I guess this is because we're recording or something. Somebody said we're doing this. Anyway, we got it on record. Pray that we will remember this. Because although we read the Bible daily, usually, I'm not saying we don't miss a day, just like Brian was saying this morning, just reading the Bible is not enough. Because the spiritual truths contained in this book do not just open up to us automatically because we're M&M. You know, the Holy Spirit has to quicken them to our heart. That's His work, to open our eyes to these truths. And that's where believing prayer comes in. That's what Paul just told us there in Ephesians 1 that we just read, right? That he was praying for them, that God would open their eyes. So as you pray for us, the Holy Spirit answers, and then we get excited about these things. And number four, pray that we'll see then that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As He said to Jeremiah 33, call upon Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. That we'll lift up our eyes to the hills and realize that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then we'll remember what Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Pray that we'll remember these things. And number five, that we'll be delivered then from all of our fears. Because we have fears. We're just like you. Man, I tell you. Tell you about some fears we just had this afternoon, my wife and I, regarding her health. There's always things coming up. You know, we might not make our flight next Tuesday because of that. Pray that we'll be delivered from these fears, though, and strengthened for the battle. And remember that we're human just like you. We have fears. And God has to open our eyes to see these spiritual realities. And He'll do it as you pray. And I think in this connection to the story of Elisha, remember Elisha when he and his servant were surrounded by a vast army, something like 20,000 soldiers out there, and he woke up one morning, him and his servant, their little hut or whatever they were in, and they looked out and he said, "Oh my Lord, what are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "You don't be afraid. The ones that are with us are more than those that are with them." And you can just see that old servant's eyes just kind of get bigger, bigger. I knew the boss was kind of, starting to get a little bit far out there, but this is ridiculous, you know? What do you mean, boss? I just prayed. He said, "Oh Lord, open it." But he could just see his knees and not, And God opened the servant's eyes. He saw chariots of fire surrounding him and Elisha. That's what he was talking about. And they're surrounding us over there in Turkey and Joey and Deb and Brendan over in Poland, you guys down in Mexico. But we forget it, don't we, brothers and sisters? That's what you need here, please, to pray for us. Number B, Monday. Pray that we'll have a wartime mentality. Is anybody here, besides Linda, old enough to remember World War II? Huh? Anybody here, my mom, I forgot you're here, Doc. Bless your heart. Yeah, you can remember the first one too, bless your heart. Well, anyway. Well, I don't think I'm giving away any secrets there. She was probably, a little bitty baby then. Anyway, didn't you, Mom, didn't you, Linda, whoever else was there, some of you, didn't you live just a little bit differently during those years? Sure you did. And you didn't really, worry a lot about it. Well, so, hey, we don't have sugar. We'll just, drink straight coffee or, cereal without sugar, whatever. And gas, hey, we'll just walk or we just won't, we'll forget about it, go and see and whoever. Because it was in a war. Our problem is that we forget that we're in a war every day. Amen. We need to remember that. We need you to pray that we won't forget that. Number one, pray that we'll never forget that we're in a battle. That there are no leaves, that there are no furloughs, even though, quote, we come up here on furlough, or over here on furlough, there's no such thing as far as Satan's concerned. In fact, in some ways, I think the battle gets a lot stronger when you come home. I don't know how you guys feel, you girls, ladies feel. But anyway, we have a powerful enemy who's out to destroy us. Pray that we'll never forget that. I remember reading about David over there in one of the Old Testament books. It said that at the time when kings go out to war, David decided to stay home and have a little R&R. And that was the beginning of the end of David's spiritual power. And his whole family just fell apart after that. God have mercy. Pray that we won't forget that. Number two, pray that our marriages, we will guard them carefully. Because Satan's always, always trying to put a wedge between Fran and I guarantee you that. Because he knows that a house divided against itself will fall. And the same thing, by the way, is happening on the field with your teammates, with our teammates. Always trying to, put these innuendos into our minds. And same with your fellow elders here, your ministers here. So pray. Number three, that daily, consciously, we will put on all the armor of God as we're told to do in Ephesians 6. I don't just wake up every morning with, nice gospel shoes on and with that helmet, of salvation and that sword of the Spirit and that shield. No, I'm just as, naked as I am almost physically. Spiritually, I am. Until I consciously get before God and begin to equip myself. And that's what Fran has to do the same thing. And that's what you need to pray because we forget that. Pray that we'll do that every day. And number four, pray that we'll learn to take every thought captive to Jesus Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. And this is something I prayed an awful lot about and asked God to show me. And I believe He's shown me very simply what that means. What does this mean, Lord, to take every thought captive? How do I do it? And He gave me another verse. That's always the best way to interpret Scripture. Is by the Scripture. And the verse is a very familiar one. And that's Philippians 4, 6 and 7. If I didn't write them, you might want to write them on your sheet there. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, where it tells us, that we're not to be anxious for anything, but to pray about everything. With thanksgiving, make our requests known to God, right? And He says, the peace of God that passes all understanding
we'll keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
But then the next verse is important too. Sometimes we forget the next verse, verse 8. It says, therefore, think on these things. He tells us the things we're supposed to think on. Things that are good and pure and noble and right and lovely and excellent and admirable and praiseworthy. Those are the things God wants us to be thinking on, dwelling on. If we'll do that, we'll be taking thoughts captive to Christ. Because you know, Satan is a mind poisoner. You know, we're looking for a water purifier to take back to Turkey. Well, you know, we need mind purifiers. We have it. We just need to use it. The Word of God plus the Holy Spirit is a mind purifier. And we need every day to sift out all the junk that's coming up, you know. And we need to learn to forgive our brother, our sister. We need to learn to forgive our spouse and forget those things in the past and press on. Because that's how Satan will weigh us down. Number 5, pray that we'll remember these things. First, that the battle belongs to the Lord. And it's not our battle, and not to rely upon our own strength. But as it says in Psalm 105, verse 4, that we'll look to the Lord in His and seek His face continually. And that we'll remember the wonders that He has done, because as we do that, we're going to get stronger and stronger in the Lord. Pray that we'll do that. We'll, somebody said, keep our heads up and our knees down. Pray that we'll always keep our heads up and our knees down, and not vice versa, because it's just the opposite. When our knees aren't down, our heads tend to get, you know, down too. Number five, pray that we'll remember the battle is not against other people. Not against flesh and blood. It's not against unbelievers that we're fighting, and we need to not get sidetracked into arguing religion with other people. We need to keep the focus on Jesus Christ and His cross and resurrection plus nothing. That's what we've been sent to preach, brothers and sisters. And man, sure, you can disprove whatever religion you're dealing with, you know, in Poland or in Mexico with a Catholic, me over with the Muslim, but that isn't the issue. The issue is Jesus Christ. Let's remember to keep the focus where it is. And pray by all means that we'll be preserved from fighting against our fellow workers. That we'll not see people killed by friendly fires. I remember hearing about Napoleon. Once in one of his battles, two of his officers had been quarreling terribly. And it got back to him. This was sort of dividing the ranks. And they were getting ready to have a big battle next day. He took them up to a high point that was overlooking the battlefield. And he just sort of pulled them together like this. He says, look, there's your enemy. Now get back here. And I just think, oh, how God would love to do this same thing to us many times. Just, you know, what's it? Eutyche and who's the other one? Chloe, the one there in Philippians. Just sort of say, come on, it's not worth it. Number 6, pray that we'll remember that Satan's a liar. Pray that we'll learn to recognize his tricks. Because his trick is to always plant doubts in our minds. He's the author of doubts. He's a liar, the father of lies. And he's always planting these doubts about God, first of all. Yea, hath God said? Is God holding out on you? Does God really mean that? No, come on. God's a good God. So pray that we'll learn to recognize that. And he plants doubts about our spouse again. You know? Oh, now I wonder if I really should have married that other gal. Or that other guy. Where do you think those thoughts come from? I guarantee they ain't coming from above. And regarding ourselves and our sins, let me ask you this. Has Satan ever reminded you of any of your sins that you've committed and have been forgiven of? Oh yeah, like every day, huh? 100 times a day. Well, how should you handle this when this happens? Well, I think we should follow Jesus' example. Resist him. How do we resist him? The way Jesus did. Use the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. Don't make the mistake of arguing with the devil. Don't try to deny that you're of sin. Of course you're sin. You're a sinner. That's what we all are, right? It's foolish. It's wrong to do that. Instead say, like I do when he reminds me of my sin, he doesn't do it near as much as he used to before I learned this. I just say, yeah, that's right. 1 Timothy 1:15, thank you for reminding me Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I qualify, hallelujah. And thank you for reminding me if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. And there is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. Somebody said, when Satan tries to remind you of your past, just stop him for a minute and remind him. Say, you know, you're right there. You're right there. But you know, I got all these verses about my sins being cleansed. But let me just show you some over Revelation 20. Who is that? 21 there? He don't want to hear that about the lake of fire. He's out of there. I like a chorus. You know, you might nitpick and find something wrong with, you know, the chorus. But I think it gets a great truth across. We used to sing with the kids. How does it go? If you want to see. Well, okay, try a little bit louder. If you want to see the devil run, if you want to see that devil run, if you want to see that devil run, shoot him down with a gospel gun. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Amen. I like that. You do that. Use the gospel gun and you'll shoot him down every time. Number C, and last for tonight, Tuesday, pray that we will keep the right priorities. Number one, pray that we'll remember our own inadequacy apart from Jesus. He said, without me, you can do zip, right? Nothing. Do you ever forget this? Any of you M&Ms, huh? Yeah. And you fall flat on your face just like I do, right? Satan works overtime to get us to think that we're finally, as somebody said this morning in the meeting here, that we finally going to reach a point where we can just sort of put it on automatic pilot and coast. Guess what? It ain't going to happen. He just loves to see you when you get to that point. He says, whoa, I got another David here just ready to go down in flames. Number two, pray that we'll be faithful to wait upon God daily. The danger that I see so much in my own life is that we can get so caught up working for the Lord that we forget that what God is the worshipful worship spirit. Never say anything about God looking for workers, but it says a lot about Him looking for workers. The hardest commandment for me to follow, I believe in the Bible, is Psalm 46 verse 10, which says, be still and know. So pray that for me. Number three, pray that we'll not be legalistic about it, but that we will be disciplined about it to spend time in God's Word and prayer every morning and then to meditate on it throughout that day. Because God tells us very clearly in Joshua 1:8 that if we do that, we're going to be maybe not successful in the eyes of the world, but in His eyes. That's what's important. And I think the last thing we do at night, I hope that all of you are faithful to do this, brothers and sisters, especially those of you that are in full-time ministry, that is before our bed hits that pillow, the last, whatever, half hour, hopefully at least, we're not, you know, before the TV, we're not reading the newspaper, we're not, you know, whatever. We're just quieting our hearts down before God in prayer, in the Word, going over some song maybe. That's the way to go to sleep and wake up in the morning. You know, I've got two classes now. I'm going to probably get another soon because I kind of maybe been doing these for so long. But, you know, Romans 8. If you never memorize Romans 8, man, I encourage you to do that. Hope you memorize the Scripture, by the way, all of you. Hope you're teaching to your children to memorize Scripture. There's no greater thing you can do for your children than that, as far as I'm concerned, to just be faithful to teach them the Word of God, to memorize it with them, you know, even though it's a lot harder for you at your age. But at any rate, Romans 8, what a passage to go to sleep with. And then I've been waking up with Psalm 33. I memorized that just more recently, last few months. Psalm 33. It's about all of God's great attributes, goodness, as revealed in all of His attributes. Number four, pray that we'll be careful to keep in fellowship with God, to confess our sins immediately to Him and claim 1 John 1:9, because hardly an hour passes, I'm sure, at least not in my life, I doubt in your, that in some way we don't sin, either in thought or in word or in deed, because we're sinners. I've talked to you here about this before on Sunday night, about a definition of a Christian being a continually repenting sinner and a continually rejoicing sinner. Well, anyway, that's what you need to pray for us, that we will be as holy schizophrenics. That we will not, like somebody said, do you live in Romans 7 or Romans 8? I said, yeah, both. I guarantee you, every day. I'm in Romans 7, I'm in Romans 8. I'm just back and forth. Hopefully I'm more in Romans 8 than I am in Romans 7, but I still fall back. Woe is me, I am undone. So pray for me, and for Fran, and for all of us. Also on that, pray that we'll be careful to maintain a good relationship with others, especially with our spouses, that we'll be quick to forgive one another, and our teammates also, that we'll be quick to ask forgiveness of one another. Humble ourselves to do that and not allow Satan to put that wedge, that root of bitterness. Oh, God, have mercy. And number five, pray that we'll use His Word to encourage one another again as teammates and especially as spouses. That the Word of Christ, as it says in Colossians 3:16, will dwell in us richly. That we'll teach and encourage one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that I'll never forget that my main ministry is not how many thousand miles away, I don't know, 10,000 miles away. My main ministry is on the third row over here on the left side. Pray that I'll not forget. It's so easy to forget. And last of all, number six, pray that as parents, those who still have children at home, that we'll make it a priority to spend quality time teaching this Word to our kids. Ever meet an MK or a PK who is bitter? How sad. Pray that we'll remember that our most important infield is our children.